Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she greeted the house of Zechariah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today we are so close to all of it, ready or not, to what this season has been preparing us for as much as we have been preparing for it. We are almost as close to Christmas as we can be on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Last year was just a little closer, since Advent 4 was in the morning and Christmas Eve was in the afternoon of the same day. I still entertain myself sometimes by wondering, at what moment did it stop being Advent 4 and become Christmas Eve? So if you want a brain teaser, or you get bored in a few minutes, you can puzzle over that. But this year, it's Advent 4 all day long. And tomorrow, we return to come close again to the mystery of Christmas. Today, we complete our time of getting ready, of being made ready, of counting out the time of waiting, and we have one of the best things in the world to help us be ready. We have Mary's song, the Magnificat. We sang it a few minutes ago in a way many people in this place know well, because we sing it almost every Wednesday of Lent, almost every year, just like that. It is a song that is truly in our bones, maybe whether we know it or not. But who was this person, this woman, this main character of our story, at the center of gravity of the whole universe? I thought to myself this week, there are so many things we say about Mary. How many of them do we really know? And what does her song mean about who she was? Where did these words that poured out of her soul come from? Perhaps you hear turns of phrase in Mary's song and think you may have heard them somewhere else. Well, that sounds a little bit like a psalm. Where else have I heard those words? I know I've heard that phrase somewhere. I wondered that myself this year, to the point that I went looking for some of these phrases in the Magnificat elsewhere in Scripture. And I'm very excited to tell you some of the things I found, except I'm not going to do it just yet, not for a few minutes. Because first I want to tell you what I realized Mary's song reminds me of in its totality, in its fullness, among the many amazing things that Mary is. I've decided that I think Mary sings jazz. Now, I am in no way qualified to make that claim, because I am very, very, very bad at jazz. I played keyboard in my middle school jazz band, and that chapter of my musical career ended very quickly. I do not understand music that is written like that. I need notes that are laid out on a page like a map that will tell me exactly how to get where I'm supposed to go. When I try to play jazz, I feel like I'm just missing that ability to feel not only where we are, but where we are going, sort of without a map, maybe with only the compass of the chords in my hands. I don't have that ability to let the music flow from my body to my instrument the way great jazz musicians seem to do. And I've never fully understood the musical theory of jazz. I mean, it would be fair to say I don't think I even partly understand the musical theory of jazz. Those scales and intervals in my voice and in my hands, they're also halting, if I can find them at all. But not so Mary. Mary feels this song in the vibrations of her bones. One of the most feared and respected songs to improvise on for jazz musicians, or so I've been told, is John Coltrane's composition, Giant Steps. To play over its opening chord changes is like a jazz rite of passage. The opening seconds of that title track of that album are legendary. They are iconic to Coltrane. They weave through in their own way the whole musical universe in a way that is particular to the language of jazz and particularly difficult to play because the keys are constantly moving very quickly and in unexpected ways. It is a true masterwork. There are certain pieces of music across all genres that gather together the whole existing universe of sound around them in a new way and resonate through time, as if they can pull all of what music really is close. Coltrane did that, and Mary does too. The song she sings wends its way through the story of God and the people of God. She gathers it all up, pulling together distant bits of story in new ways and in the language of her particular place in the world. We sometimes talk about Mary as lowly and meek and mild. And she was certainly not a very important person in her time. So lowly? Sure. But the rest of it? I think we just made it up at some point and repeated it until we believed it was true. And sometimes I think in doing that, we've erased some of the power with which she can belt the song that we hear her sing today. So now I want to tell you some of the things that I found when I looked for where her song came from. Because there were bits of it that came from other places. And there were other parts that I realized I've never given her the credit she deserved for composing in her own right. She opens singing, "My soul magnifies the Lord." We hear this metaphor also in the Psalms 34 and 69. It also feels like an echo of Hannah's song in 1 Samuel that we heard just a few weeks ago. Another expectant, rejoicing mother, Mary's soul, our souls, like a magnifying glass. And then she uses these phrases calling God the mighty one who shows strength with his arm. These are very distinctly Hebrew Bible images and phrases. And Mary is one of the only voices in the New Testament, from the Gospels on, who carries forward some of this poetry, if you look for it. References in the Old Testament all the way down, and only Mary's voice in the New carrying them forward. And then she writes this original line about how God has scattered the proud, and that's pure original Mary right there. She talks about the hungry being filled with good things. Of course we know God has been showing us about that forever. The psalmist says it in Psalm 107, and in later years we'll hear this refrain again, this time from the mouth of Mary's own son when he preaches the Beatitudes and so much more. When we hear her say how God lifts up the lowly, the memory of Hannah should just rush back to us again with full force. Hannah sang about the poor being lifted up out of the ash heap. And now again, another forgotten and disregarded one continues this song. And Mary ends her song invoking Abraham, the whole lineage of the people of God. And she claims the fullness of God's promise right now for her and for the ones who wait. And the whole time she is singing, I don't know if you hear this, I think I hear her in the vein of a prophet, and I think of her words as prediction. But look back, because this entire time she has been singing about what God has done already. She is a prophet, a bearer of God's word, I think, quite literally, to be sure. Perhaps she is more of a prophet than any other prophet in time, because she brings God's word into the world in the fullest way possible. So yes, she is a prophet, but not a predicting the future kind of prophet. This isn't that kind of prophecy. It's the kind of prophecy that speaks into people's hearts the truth of God's dream and promise and love right now, already, begun at the beginning of time and true now for us today, even as we also wait. She carries forward music from the Hebrew scriptures that no one else in the New Testament touches. She writes her own poetry. She sings from the depth of the knowledge of her story and the story of her people. She riffs on the themes that God laid down in the opening bars of creation's song, wandering masterfully through so many keys and all the tones of the whole sweeping story. Nothing less. And I wonder what you would think if I told you now that you can do that too. Maybe not in the same way. We won't all be Coltrane or Mary. Lord knows I won't. But Mary's soul isn't substantively different from any of ours. After all, not really. You might not be called to the same kind of work as Mary or as each other, but your soul, too, was made to magnify. Your soul, your life, will be a magnifying glass for some things and not others. And today we can look for what is small in the world that needs to be larger, to be seen. We can be a megaphone to amplify what needs to be heard. And a time is surely coming when there will be so much to show and to tell. So I can't help but wonder, in these final waiting breaths, before the world is turned upside down again, what might we magnify to sing God's praises again? Where might the presence of God be magnified for us to see and hear? How will we sing in our own voice and key in our time? What giant steps are there yet to be written in the direction of praise and love and justice and life? Because God is playing a lick that is both familiar and yet like nothing else we have ever heard. Thanks be to God. Amen.